he was crying, "Hosanna, Hosanna," which in the Aramaic, it means save us, help us now. And I want to tell you, we still need his help. We still need him even now. Amen. Thank you, Brother Harold. I'm going to try to figure this table out. Scott, I'm sure you did it this morning, trying to see, because whether you believe this or not, when that pulpit's there, my eyes are fixed. Now I'm going to have to be going like this all evening, because right now I can't read nothing on my Bible. I can just barely read my notebook. So y'all just bear with me tonight as we work our way through this. Amen. What a wonderful morning we did have in the Lord. And I want to tell you something, friend. That's what it's going to take. The world today, and I thought about this afternoon in my study. I thought about it because the world today will call that foolishness. But yet God would take the foolish things of the world and confound, or the things of God, and confound the world. I didn't look it up and read it, but I know he says that in 1 Corinthians. Because Paul said, "I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." Amen. Amen. So thank God for his blessings upon us today. How many of you were here last Sunday night for the most part? I'd started off in doing a review study or a refresher course on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And so I didn't get done with that, and the way things turned out, I wanted to finish, or at least talk more about that tonight, if you would allow me to do so and hang with me for a little while we do this. But I want you to turn to the book of John, and the scriptures that I'm going to mention tonight, and the things I'm going to read to you tonight, again, they're not really any strange. It's not a new message for those of us that's been around Pentecost for any time at all. But that's why I said it's a refresher course in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And we want to talk about some of that stuff tonight. We talked about it last week. And I just pray that God would anoint us tonight and touch us and help us as we endeavor to do his will tonight. In the book of John, chapter number 15, I want to look in verse number 26, if I can get you to turn there with me. And again, thank you, Brother Marlowe, for that song. And Jesus could have called 72,000 angels plus to come to his rescue, but he said, "Not my will, but thy will be done." And on this Palm Sunday, we sure are thankful that we have a Savior that gave his life for us. And we want to just love him during this time. Again, John 15, verse 26 says these words, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning." When you look in chapter 16 and verse number 5, the Bible says, "But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou?" Verse 6 says, "But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart." You got to understand the context of what has been written. Jesus with his disciples, Jesus talking about John 14, when we were there in John chapter number 14, Jesus was telling his disciples, if you look in the first part of that, to let not your heart be troubled. In verse number 1, he said, "Let not your heart be troubled." He said, "You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you." And then Jesus begins to expound more about the word, about his departure. Now, when we read the scripture, Jesus comes back and he tells them this in the scripture. And he says this again when we look at this in John 16 and verse 6, that sorrow had filled their hearts. Well, the reason being is because Jesus had been along the way with them. Jesus had been a comfort to them. Jesus had been there as with them as many multitudes of individuals was healed while Jesus was there. And then all of a sudden the very entity, Jesus, that said, I'm no longer going to be with you, their hearts began to be filled with sorrow. They did not understand what we know today. But Jesus came back in verse number 7, and then he begins to break it down with them and tell them in this scripture here. And he says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. And he goes on and he says, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you shall see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of the world is judged, and I have yet many things to say unto you. You cannot bear them now. Stretch your hand this way and pray for me. Father, I love you tonight. And Lord, this is your service. This is your time. It's not by might nor by power. But God, it is only by your Spirit that we can do this. Now, Father, I pray that you would anoint us tonight, God, as we open up the word of the Lord. And God, because I realize tonight that I can't do this. There's no use in me even trying within my own strength and power. But God, all things are possible to him that believes. So Father, I pray, God, your blessings upon us tonight. I pray, Heavenly Father, God, that you touch us and help us, God, in the service tonight. And Father, we love, honor, praise, and thank you, God. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. I want to go back for a minute. I want to go back before I go forward. And the Bible talks about the indwelling and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And in this, we look at this scripture, and when we look at this, we can see that even Jesus himself promised the coming of the Spirit. Now, as we walk through this evening, there's several things I want to point out as we do, but I want to go all the way back to the Old Testament for just a moment. And the reason I wanted to do this, I remember, Bobby may not remember it, but I remember Bobby and I talking about this very subject many years ago, because the Bible teaches you and I that not only will the Holy Spirit be with us, but the Bible said that the Holy Ghost shall be in you. Now, when you begin to look at the moving of the Holy Spirit's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, we're Trinitarians. And when we think about the Trinity, you can't think about the one except we think about the other. So going all the way back, we know this from the very beginning in Genesis chapter 1. I think it's there in verse number 2. And the Bible begins to talk about that in the book of Genesis, when the Bible says, in the beginning God created. And when you begin to look at that in verse number 2 of Genesis 1, I'll turn there really quick. This is what the Bible, there she's got it. And the earth was without form. Or the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. When you look at that word Spirit, again, we look at this in the breath of God, the Spirit of God. The Greek word there is pneuma. It talks about breath. But it said that the Spirit of God breathed upon the face of the earth. In other words, that the Spirit of God was evident in the creation story. He was there in the beginning. He's always been and always will be. Now, I don't have time tonight to go through every individual that I thought about, but these are a couple that I thought about this afternoon. First of all, I thought about this man by the name of Samson. Most all of us know Samson, and Samson is a character in and of himself. But yet when we think about Samson, we think about the good things that Samson did and also the bad things that Samson did. But yet we can understand, looking at the scripture, and this is the emphasis that I wanted to put on this particular portion of scripture is that in the book of Judges, over in the Old Testament, it talks about Samson. And in the Old Testament, this is something that I wanted to point out as we walk forward into this tonight, is that in the Old Testament, God would come down and God would anoint and God would move upon an individual for a particular and a specific task. And then that spirit would light off of them. And then they would finish at that time. That's the only way I can explain it. But in this, we can see, and I wanted you to see this, that in the scripture, Judges chapter number 13, we can see this looking in verse number 24. And the Bible says there, and the woman bare a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew and the Lord blessed him. Watch this. And the spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. So in this, we can understand that the spirit of the living God began to move upon this young man by the name of Samson. When you look over in chapter number 14, it actually gives you a whole lot better understanding of what he's trying to say here. In the chapter number 14, we look at this in verse number 6. And look at this, and it says let me go back to verse number 5. And it says that then went Samson down, and his father and his mother to Timnath, came the vineyards to Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him. In other words, he was there, a lion come out of the bushes, the only way I can get that in my mind. And all of a sudden, that would have torn him most likely into shreds, the spirit of the living God, the Bible said, came upon Samson. It says that in verse 6. It says, and the spirit of the Lord came, look at this, mightily upon him. And the Spirit of God came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would rent a kid, and he had nothing in his hand, but he told his father and mother what he had done. And then he goes on, he says, and he went down and he talked with the women, and it pleased Samson well. But the point that I was trying to make is simply this, that when the power of God came upon Samson, he had this this incredible power about him that was abnormal to you and I today. And so in this moment when this a lion had came out against him, the Bible says again that the Spirit of God, watch this, came mightily upon him. Stay with me. The Bible says it came upon him. And then we look at David. David is another example that we have over in the book of 1 Samuel. When we look at him in 1 Samuel, we can see that in 1 Samuel chapter 16, the Bible said in verse 12, and he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal a beauty, countenance, and goodly to look to. This was David. So we know the story. I'm not going to take the time to go through all that tonight. But it's when David was called and Jesse's sons was already there. And so Samuel was there with a horn of oil to anoint the next king of Israel. And so here all of a sudden David comes in and the Spirit of God began to talk to Samuel and says, he quickened him and said, this is the one that you are to anoint. Look at him in verse number 12. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. I don't know about you, but I want to be this is he for the anointing of the Lord tonight. And he said, this is he. And then we see that then Samuel took the horn of oil, anointed him in the midst of the brethren. Watch this. And the Spirit of the Lord again came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose up and went to Ramah. So we look at this again, two examples just really, really quick of how that we see this. We see that the Spirit of God came upon them, and then when the Spirit of God came upon them, they were able to do mighty feats for the Lord. Again, that's why you and I need to be filled with the power of the Holy Ghost today. So we begin to look further into this. Now, somebody says again, what is the difference between being born again and being filled with the Spirit? That is a great theological question that we all could spend a whole lot of time talking about. Let me just give it to you in a paraphrase really, really quick, and then we'll get back into the scripture. The Spirit of God will convict. We read that just a few minutes ago. The Spirit of God will convict a sinner. The Spirit of God will show you your sins, and the Spirit of God will give you the opportunity to come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Now, I'm not going to read all of it because of the sake of time, but we can see this again in John chapter number 3. In John chapter number 3, Jesus dealing with a man by the name of Nicodemus, and he tells him, when you begin to do this, Jesus was talking to him, and he says this, and Jesus says in verse number 5, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom. It takes the Spirit of God to draw you. It takes the Spirit of God for you to have a born again experience with Jesus Christ. He moves upon us. He does a work. He does the work inside of us. And it is Jesus' blood that cleans us up. But the Holy Spirit is wooing us and drawing us. And the Holy Spirit changes our heart. The Bible even teaches us that. And I'm going to get into a little bit of that in a minute. But again, Nicodemus was told of Jesus in the scripture. And he says this in verse number 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that is born of the Spirit is spirit. It takes a born again experience. But yet is a person that is born again filled with the Spirit. Most everyone would say yes, absolutely. And that is something that has always been a theological debate in all ranks, but yet there's a difference in the Pentecostal persuasion between being born again, when you are born again by the Spirit, and being endowed with power from on high for service unto the Lord. We'll talk about that. In just a few minutes, we'll talk about that. So again, that is the experience of having the Spirit of God come up on us and then the Spirit of God doing a work in us for spiritual cleansing, if you will. Now, a little bit further, Romans chapter number 8. I hope you got time to write all this down. And I've tried my best to just go through it as the best I could in what little bit of time that we've got. So here's another section of scriptures that is very imperative. And he talks about, again, about how that you've got to be refreshed. You've got to be born again. You've got to have a born again experience. But I will go further to say this prior to getting into the latter part of this message. The Bible lets you and I know that the Holy Ghost is the third person in the Godhead Trinity, and the Holy Ghost has got to work in your and my salvation. We'll talk about that again in a minute as well. So, Romans chapter number 8, we're going to read this really quick. We're going to go through it, and I'm going to try to explain it the best way I know how in just a few minutes of time. Romans chapter number 8, we look at this in verse number 5, and the Bible says, For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Now, oftentimes when I preach that, we put an emphasis upon staying away from the things of the flesh and not participating in the things of the flesh, not being overcome with the things of the flesh. But here's the emphasis that I want to make tonight is that we want to be overcome by the power of the Spirit of the living God. And we want to be obedient to the living God through the power of the Spirit. He goes into that latter part and he says, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Moving on quickly, verse 6, we see this, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Again, follow me down through here, because the carnal mind is enmity or an enemy against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither can it be, or can be. Verse 8, so they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Look at this, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Okay? I talked about Samson. I talked about David. When the power of God would come upon them to do a certain task that God had anointed them to do. But in the New Testament context, Jesus was telling them that the Holy Spirit of God is going to be in you. Okay, stay with me. We're still working. We're headed towards something. Stay with me. So he says here in the scripture, when you begin to look at this in verse number 9, that we're not minding the things of the flesh. We're minding the things of the spirit. And then he says that if we mind the things of the flesh, then the spirit of God does not dwell in us. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Boy, that is a good scripture again for a good long theological debate when we've got time to do that. Simply, this is my understanding of this. When somebody gets saved, they get the Holy Spirit in measure. Jesus got the Holy Spirit power without measure. But when somebody gets wooed, drawn by the power of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost is wooing them and drawing them. But yet at that moment, they have not as of yet been in filled or full, if you will, of the Holy Spirit. There's still room for the Holy Ghost to do a work in their life. It don't mean you're not saved. It don't mean that the Holy Ghost is not working in your life, but it just means that the Spirit of the living God, he wants to give you a deluge from heaven, amen, and he wants to touch you from the top of your head to the sole of your feet and every fiber of your being absolutely infiltrated in and it's like this. You shall be endued with power from on high. I'm getting ahead of myself. But yet in this, the word endued means to be clothed upon. And it's like when you, this is one of the ways that Ray Hughes explained this years ago. He said, it's like if you've got a piece of cloth and you take that piece of cloth and you dip that piece of cloth into a cistern. I'll use that word. That's the one I can think of. If you take that and you dip that piece of cloth into a cistern of dye, I'll use that. I don't know what they call them things, a vat. That's what I'm thinking about, a vat. If you put that in there and you bring it back up out of that, every inch, every piece of fiber in that a cloth has been infused with and by the Spirit of the Lord. That's one way that Ray Hughes explained that when I was a lot younger, when I was years ago. But in this, we see that again, that the Spirit of God is wooing, the Spirit of God is drawing, the Spirit of God dwelled upon, but yet now in the New Testament context, the Holy Spirit wants to be in you. Again, when you look at this in verse 10, he says this, and Christ be in you, the body, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Verse 11, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead, watch this, dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Over and over and over again, there is an emphasis placed upon the fact that the Holy Spirit, God, is wanting the believer to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, and he wants to be in you, not just on you, he wants to be in you. So when we look back at this text, this is one of the things that I didn't get to last week. I wanted to get to it. So these are just the thoughts from last week as well. So in chapter number 15, when I look at this in verse number 26, this is part of the first part that I see. So he says this again in John 15 to 26, and when the Comforter is come. I mentioned this last week. The Bible says that he is the Comforter. We know from studying this from years and years and years that the word Comforter comes from a Greek word, paraklete or parakletos in the Greek, which means Comforter is one who is called alongside to help. He's the paraclete. And in any given situation, Jesus was promising these disciples, he said this in the word, that I'm going to send the Comforter to you. He says that, I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father. So several of these things I'll get to in a minute. He says, again in our text, he says, and ye also shall bear witness because you have seen me from the beginning. Again, let me jump ahead just a minute. These disciples had been walking with Jesus. They had been talking with Jesus. Jesus was there, and they had seen all the miracles of Jesus. They had seen the blind come to Jesus, and Jesus touched them and opened the blinded eyes, put spittle, and they opened their eyes. Jesus told the man with the withered hand to stretch out your hand. Jesus told them that was lame to get up and walk. I can't help but to think, I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but I can't help but to think when Peter and John had went up to the temple in the hour of prayer, and here that lame man was that was begging alms at the gate. No telling how long he had been there, but I like it because this was after the upper room. Peter was there. Peter had already experienced the dunamis. He had already experienced the power of the Holy Ghost. I'll get more into that in a minute. But in this, that he looked at this man and he began to tell him, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee. That in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And the Bible said that immediately his ankle bones received strength. He got up, he started praising God, he started magnifying God. They found the man in the temple praising God and glorifying God. And that is the power of the Spirit of God that was in operation in the life of Peter and John at the man that sat at the gate called Beautiful. And I tell you what, friend, it's the same power today that they had then is what we've got to have if we're going to see a difference in the church today. Amen. Jesus said, you're going to have another comforter. And exactly what Jesus was saying, what I have been to you is what the Holy Ghost is going to be when I'm gone. I don't know about you, but I can say amen right there. That we have the power of the Holy Ghost even now in the church today. And the Bible says that when he comes, he's going to proceed out of from the Father. Now look at this last verse in verse 26. And this is what the Holy Ghost is going to do. The Holy Ghost is going to always point men to Jesus. Are you with me? This is what he said. And when he says this in the word, the bottom of verse 26, he says, and when he shall come, he shall testify of me. Let me take a break. Anybody that says they've got the Holy Ghost and they're not talking about Jesus and their life is not edifying Jesus Christ, they don't have the Holy Ghost, they got the phony ghost. Are you with me? Because he said, your life is going to testify of me. This is what your assignment is. The Holy Ghost is not just for goosebumps. I love the goosebumps. I love this morning. I love it all. I love every bit of that. But in all, he empowers our life to be a living testament of the power of the living God. Amen. Again, when you look on down through here, he begins to again talk about this in verse 27. And he says, when you look at this, he says, and ye also shall bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. And ye also shall bear witness. Now, I said this last week, I want to just jump real fast and say it again. When Jesus had gotten ready to ascend and Jesus was getting ready to go back to the Father. And we look at this, we mentioned it last week, but I want to mention it again. In verse number 8 of Acts 1, you shall receive power, he says, after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. The emphasis that I want to make at this point is simply this. These apostles, these disciples, they went throughout all the regions preaching the word, and they were Jesus' witnesses, if you will. They were ambassadors, if you will. And you and I are ambassadors today. Everywhere we go, everything we do, we ought to be willing to tell somebody about Jesus. Amen. Jesus told the early church, you're not going to have to do this by yourself. I'm going to send you another comforter, if you will. And for you and I today, thank God that we've got another comforter today, that we don't have to do this by ourselves. Can I get a witness? When you go on and you look at this a little bit deeper, When you jump over to verse number 7 of chapter number 16, I love this scripture because Jesus again is continuing to teach them about the indwelling and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And he comes back and he says this. He says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth." The truth is mentioned over and over and over throughout this scripture. He's called the Spirit of Truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And again, Jesus was putting an emphasis upon this, that I am telling you what is yet to come. It is the truth, and before long you will know it as the truth. We know that from reading the Bible. But he said, but you shall, let's go back into, again, John 16, verse number 7. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient." Expedient to me sounds like a word that would be associated with getting in a hurry and getting it done. Pronto. But yet that word, when you look at it, we all know what it means from our studies in days gone by. Remember, this is a refresher course. What does it mean? It means that nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. Jesus was saying that it is necessary. Jesus was saying it is to your benefit. It is profitable for you that I am going away. We know why, don't we? We know that 2,000 years ago on the cross that Jesus bore the cross for our sins. Amen. But Jesus was telling them, hey, I'm going to send you another Comforter. The word another is a word, again, when we think about that word another, it just simply means one like unto the same. Everything that Jesus was, when Jesus was here on the earth with those disciples, what he was telling the disciples is that the Holy Ghost, he's going to be everything that I have been. And I can only say today, hallelujah and amen, that you and I today in the church, we know that the Comforter is here. We feel him. We sense him. We experience him this morning in the great service that we had. But I'm just saying again, God, how much the church needs that Comforter in the life that we're living even today. I tell you the truth. It is profitable for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. He says, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. Now, stay with me for just a minute. When you look into the book of Acts, chapter number 1, verse number 9, when you look at this again, he says this, and when he had spoken these things, and while they beheld, he was taken up. I love that, don't you? He was taken up, and a cloud, the Bible said, received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards the heaven, and as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Verse number 11 says, which also said, you men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing up into the heaven? I love that song that we sing sometimes. It says, this same Jesus. Come on, somebody. This same Jesus. Brother Harold, the Jesus that you sung about, the Jesus that they crucified, the Jesus that they put in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. Nicodemus was there with him. We know that Nicodemus became a believer from that experience. But the Bible says that this same Jesus, hallelujah, that you see go away into heaven, we know without shadow of a doubt that he will come again in like manner as you have seen him go. I'm not going to let the cat out of the bag. I'm not going to spoil it for you, but I'm going to tell you something, and my wife might scold me later, but in the program, when that Jesus figure and that person playing Jesus steps out on that cloud, friend, it ain't nothing but for you and I to know that there's a promise, hallelujah, and we know he's real. We know he's coming. We know his promises are true, because Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Here's the thing. You and I that are filled with the power of the Spirit of God, and you and I that are born again by the power of the Spirit of God. This is Alan Green's take on it. We know that Jesus, as Timothy was told of Paul, we know that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. He's ever making intercession for you and I. We have a mediator there even now, because Jesus said, except I go away, the Comforter will not come. Jesus went up in the clouds of glory. And then you see in Acts chapter number 2, when they were all together of one mind and one accord, as I preached last Sunday night, that the power of the Holy Ghost came down in the upper room and filled all the place where they were sitting. I don't know how anybody could not be Pentecostal and believe the Bible. I don't know where all that came from, but I'm tired. We know He made it. We know He made it. If He made it, how much the more do we need the power of the Spirit of God? David, Samson, the Old Testament saints, you can go read it all. The power of God came and it sat down and done a work. He done a work upon them for a task. But now the Bible gives you and I this great assurance, Shelby, that He's not just going to be on us. As a born-again child of the living God, we have the opportunity for Him to be in us. John chapter number 16, when we conclude, we begin to look at this. We see this again. He says, unless I go away, the Comforter will not come. We know He made it. But if I depart, Jesus said, I will send Him unto you. Now He's got a work to do. I told you I'd mention this later a few minutes ago. Remember I said I'd get to it in a minute. Verse number 8, He goes back and He says, and when He has come. Anybody ever felt the conviction? We don't use that word much in the church today. Because we live in a society that, you know, they blame it on the devil. They blame it on Flip Wilson, who said, if it feels good, do it. You know, whatever. We live in a world today, in a society today that don't have, seemingly, Lord, they don't have a consciousness of sin today. You know, everybody lives their own way. That's where it was at the end of the book of Judges. Go back and read it. There was no judge in the land, and everyone done what was right in their own eyes. It's another message for another time. But the Bible says that the Holy Ghost, Jesus said, I'm going to send Him. I know how I felt. I cannot tell anybody else how they felt. I can only tell you how I felt. When I fell under the convicting power of God, I felt miserable on the inside. I felt horrible on the inside. I felt just an emptiness on the inside. I felt like there was a void. I felt like there was something missing. And lo and behold, I didn't know what it was. I remember this vividly. I was talking to a friend of mine up the road that lived above my mom and dad. We called him the Candy Man because he sold candy for Waynesville, a candy company. What was his last name? Robert Talley. As a kid, I found Robert's house on fire. I guess that's why I thought I was going to be a fireman. I found the house on fire. Me and another buddy went there and started carrying dogs out. Seriously, we found the house on fire. But I remember talking to Robert, and I was telling him, Sherry and I had started dating, and I hadn't gotten saved yet. And Sandra, I stayed a nervous wreck. I don't know why. I was a nervous kid. I was just a nervous person. My gut hurt all the time. And Robert, I was talking to him, and he said, "Oh, son, you're just love sick," which I was. But that wasn't my problem. My problem was I was walking around as a young person in sin under conviction, Brother Harold, and I didn't even know what conviction was. So if you got a stomach ache tonight and you're not feeling it, you might check your spirit man before you check anything else and see how your spirit is. I went back and I talked to my welding teacher at Haywood Community College, and I told him how I was feeling. I don't know why I was telling people this. I mean, I don't know why. I told this man, he was my welding instructor. He said, Go home. Read Jeremiah 33 and 3. I thought, what is it? He said, just go home and read it. That was the key. That was the key. Jeremiah, you don't need to put it up there, but Jeremiah 33 and 3 says, call unto me, well, I will answer thee and show you the great and mighty things which thou knowest not. First scripture I ever learned, because Clark Sales, my welding teacher at Haywood Community College, told me to go read it. And then I began to assess my life. Me and a buddy named Mark Williams, we were in the fire department together, and he said, you know, the fire department in Clyde, they would make good community impressions, and they'd go to different churches throughout a certain season of the year. All the firemen would go together, the volunteer firemen, and we'd visit a certain church. Well, I never really got in on that too much, because me and Mark, we did. He was about my same age. Mark's in Florida now. He's a friend of mine. And he said, well, you come to church with me this week, and I'll come to church with you next week. Well, he did. He ended up becoming a member of my church, at the church that I pastored in Waynesville, New Hope Church of God, years and years. But I went to church with him that morning. And at the end of the Sunday school class, I looked at Mark. I said, I'm leaving. I don't know why, but I'm leaving. I'm not staying here. I didn't know what it was at that time. I had no clue, Tim. I was under conviction. I had no clue what it was all about. I had no clue. I know what it was. It was God getting me out of a Wesleyan church, because he knew that I needed to be a Church of God pastor and not a Wesleyan pastor. Or I could have been saved in a Wesleyan church. It's just a true story of me. But I felt even that morning, I left. I didn't even know why. I was driving an old 74 Ford pickup truck. Didn't even have a bed on it at the time. I don't know why I took the bed off of it, just if I could do it, I guess. I don't know. But it was 5 minutes till 11 by the time I left Sunday school and was driving home. And God, I had a watch. I've always loved watches. And I looked at my watch, and the Lord spoke to my heart. Didn't know it was God, but the Lord spoke to my heart and said, you got time to stop at church. It's just right now, 11 o'clock. You got time to stop. And Lynn, what I didn't know is God was setting me up, because I pulled that old truck in the corner of the lot that my papa and my granny owned before my cousin has a trailer, a double wide on it now. Pulled that old truck over in the bushes and got out. Listened to Buford Letford preach the gospel, got under the convicting power of God. And a lady by the name of Wanda Parkins, who was still living, come back there and said, Alan, we love you. Do you want to go pray? But I said all of that to say this. Before all those latter events took place, Sandra, God was already dealing with my heart. When he was come, he would reprove the world of sin. Brother Don Hunt, he was already working on me. He was already doing what the Holy Ghost was sent to do. He was convicting me of my sins. Amen. Yeah. I don't know how to explain all this. I don't know how to put the pieces together. I don't know how even today to talk to children and kids and grown adults and even my own kids that know they need to get right with God. I don't know how to even talk about it. I don't know how to talk to them. But he does. Amen. Come on and help the preacher preach. It's the Holy Ghost that's doing his work. Amen. I'm almost done in about 30 minutes. I'm not kidding. But when he has come, he's already working. And he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness. He will convince us of that is right. Amen. Hello? He'll convict us of the evil that we're doing, but he'll also confirm in our life those things that we do that is approved of God, and those things that God wants us to, how that God wants us to live, and of judgment. And in this we see of how, again, that is what he's going to do. The Holy Ghost is not an it. Even though, some of you are going to get on the wagon here in a minute. Even though, Sherry knows this, I don't know if everybody else does, I just know me and our experience. When I got in the Church of God, Brother Harold, you remember this. We're not given too many chances to come to a service and leave a service without somebody says, have you got it? And we didn't say, no, I forgot it at home on the dresser. We didn't say that. And we didn't say, what are you talking about? But if you say to somebody today, have you got it? They're going to go, what are you talking about? Harold, you remember that? I know where we grew up it was. And I tell you what, they were serious, Lynn. It wasn't a make-believe or a fairy tale question. They wanted to know, because the old timers I grew up with, Brother West, they knew that you needed to be filled with the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit is the only way you're going to make it through life. I think we, our young people today and others as well, and we think about it, we need to be filled with the Spirit. We need to be dipped in the vat of God, if you will. We may go down one way, but when we come all the way up, we got to be infused with the power of the Spirit of God. And God changes us from the inside out. Amen. Well, I could ride that wagon for a few minutes. Because years ago, they always wanted to clean up the outside before they ever cleaned up the inside. Listen to the preacher and listen to the preacher well. If the Holy Ghost can't clean them up, you sure can't. Number one, it's His job and not yours. Amen. Some people may venture into this church eventually, and my friend, their life is a mess. M-E-S-S, is that right? I'm not a good speller. Capital letters, exclamation points at the end. Their life may be a mess. And our first job is not to tell them how they need to clean up. Let the Holy Ghost reprove them of their sins. You just love them. Love them where they're at. Care for them. They may stink. Stink. Well, stunk's not really a word. That the proper English is they did stink. I learned that from Miss Armstead at Haywood Community College. I'm so proud of myself to remember that. But if you're a Grinch this evening, it stinks, stank, and stunk. But love them. I don't want to get the medal and then lose this. I'll let you help me, Sherry. Help me preach. Look at this. Let me go a little further into it. When you look at the next page, well, it's my page anyway. When you look over in verse number 13, look at the next thing the Holy Spirit is to do. This is imperative for Christian living. Amen? He's our navigator. He is. He's our navigator. The Bible says there in verse 13, howbeit when he, again, not it, he, the Spirit of truth, is come. He, look at these personal pronouns here. He will guide you into all truth. When you're Spirit-filled, you have a personal navigator. He's going to guide your life. Are you with me tonight? I don't know about you, but how many of you don't have to raise your hand? You could have almost done something or almost missed it. And that still small voice inside of you going, uh-uh, don't do it. Don't do it. You can mess up. You know better to you know better than to do that before you do it. Hello. That's the Holy Spirit reproving and the Holy Spirit trying to guide. I'm glad we have a guide. He's going to guide you into all truth, the Bible said. And then he says, and he will not speak of himself. Again, the Holy Spirit is the third person in the Godhead Trinity. And it says, but whatever he will hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. In other words, he says that he is going to be your guide. He's going to be your navigator. He's going to edify Jesus. He's going to glorify Jesus. He's not going to speak of himself. I've always wondered about that because of the way the scripture says that. Let me just do greenology right here. Because I know if we say, Holy Spirit, I love you, we're supposed to love the Holy Spirit, but in all reality, everything, whenever we say, Holy Spirit, we love you, he's just taking that praise and giving it straight to Jesus. Because he's not taking it upon himself, because when you look at this, he says, when you look at that, he says, for he not speak for himself. Jesus even knew that. The Holy Spirit would be speaking praises unto God. And then he says, and whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he also speak. He will show you all things to come. I wonder if that was a prophetic warning, Terry, that he was going to tell you things that you would encounter, things that you were to face. I'm talking about the disciples, the early church, in preparation for their lives being subject to the things that they were to be subject to. Well, think about it. I'm almost done. Think about it. When Stephen, I read Stephen last week over in the book of Acts chapter 7. Stephen preached. Jody, you can come. Stephen preached. Yet they gnashed upon him with their teeth. They stoned him to death. Saul was there. They laid down his garments at Saul's feet when he was Saul, not Paul, but Saul. But yet, the Bible says that Stephen was full of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will give you the strength to encounter what we have to encounter as his disciple. In that Jesus, and I don't have time to go into it, but Jesus even told the disciples and told the early church, he said, don't carry scrip, don't carry extra clothes, don't carry extra food, don't take anything with you that's totally unnecessary. I'm going to provide everything you need as you go. He said, I'm for you and not against you. I'll be everything you need. When we look at this in verse number 14, and we're going to wrap it up. And he says, and he shall glorify me. Okay? For he shall receive of me, he shall receive of mine, and show it unto you. And then in verse 15, all things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore, said I, he shall take of mine and show it unto you. Again, Jesus talks about them in the latter part of this. And then he says this in the word. That in verse 16, a little while, and you shall see me, and again a little while, and you shall not see me because I go to the Father. He was given them the promise that he would not leave them nor forsake them. Now I know that was a lot in just a few minutes. It's a whole lot in just a few minutes. But yet we look at this again and we see where the Bible promises us that when the Holy Ghost shall come, the Bible calls him a gift. Again, I want to go back and reiterate this from where I was at this morning in the book of Acts chapter number 2, verse 38. The Bible says in that latter part that he shall receive the gift, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Verse 39 says this, for the promise is unto you and to your children, watch this, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. He's not an outdated it. Amen. I want to go back to this for just a minute. The power of God was in this place today. Many people received a refreshing of the Holy Ghost in this room today. If the Holy Ghost was dead, we wouldn't receive that. If the Holy Ghost was outdated, we wouldn't receive that. If he wasn't for today, Brother Ronnie, we wouldn't have received that. But he says he's for you and to your children, this promise, and as many as the Lord our God shall call. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm just at the point in my life and I'm saying, Lord, whatever you want. Whatever you want. I want him to be in me. I want him to be on me. I want him to work through me. What about you? Stand with me tonight. And I'm going to ask you just right there where you're standing for just a moment. I want to ask you, unless you want to come and pray, you can come and pray anytime you want to come. But I'm going to ask you to ask the Holy Spirit as you yield your vessel to the Holy Spirit of God and say, Holy Spirit, here I am. I give myself to you. The Bible teaches us that we are to yield ourselves to the Lord. So, Father, tonight in the name of Jesus, our risen Lord and our risen Savior, Father, we yield our vessels to you. We give ourselves to you. And Father, I thank you, God, for your goodness. I thank you, God, for your power. I thank you, Heavenly Father, God, for your touch. And I pray, Father God, that on the standard of God's word and by the authority of God's word, Father, we do believe today that God, that you have a refreshing and an outpouring. Oh God, that I shall be anointed with fresh oil. And how that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost. And he went about, God, doing good and healing all manner of sickness and casting out devils, Father. So, Lord, that same Holy Ghost is the same Holy Ghost we need today. And, Lord, I pray, God, you fill us from the top of our head to the soles of our feet with the power and the anointing of your Spirit. And, Father, we ask you this. We ask you this. Now, Holy Ghost, have your way in this service. Have your way in this service at this time. Oh, Father God, whatever you so desire to be done in this room, Lord, I yield it to you, God, and I say, God, have your way. Have your way, Holy Spirit. Have your way, oh, Lord, I pray. Father, we love you. Oh, just raise your hands and praise him in the house. Say, Holy Spirit, have your way in my life. Holy Spirit, have your way. Have your way in my life. Holy Spirit, have your way. Holy Spirit, take control. Holy Spirit, here I am, Lord. Hallelujah. Can you just reach over and lay your hand on the shoulder of the person next to you if you feel comfortable doing so? The Bible said that we are to pray ye one for another. And I pray that the Holy Spirit of the living God would fill every family, fill every home, fill every life, fill every person in this room, Father, as we join together. They were of one mind and one accord. And God, the Holy Ghost fell on the house where they were sitting. And Lord God, I pray right now again that God, that you would fall on the Thomasville Church of God, that Lord, that we would be filled with your Spirit. Lord, we thank you, God, for being our God, for being the one that leads us, and the Holy Ghost, God, that guides our steps. Father, we thank you. We thank you in advance, oh God, for the things that you've done. Have your way, Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Hey, let God refresh you today. Psalm 92 and 10 says, and I shall be anointed with fresh oil. What about you tonight? Are you ready for fresh oil? Amen. Let me make a couple of announcements. Wednesday night, we will be having church. We'll be in the sanctuary. Friday night,